This is Kids These Days.
Welcome to Kids These Days. Kids These Days is a weekly conversation about issues that affect Alaska families. Today we're talking about how dozens of organizations that aim to help kids are working together to improve the futures of all young Alaskans. Anchorage United for Youth's Sarah Sledge and a friend are joining us in the studio today. We'll also hear from Sarah Gonzalez, who will speak with the Girl Scouts of Alaska. And we'll hear a piece from Juno about a mentor there who's making a big difference in kids' lives. You're listening to Kids These Days. I'm your host, Shanna Sheehy. And with us in the studio today are Sarah Sledge and Don Groth. Sarah Sledge works for United Way and coordinates and organizes Anchorage United for Youth. Sarah is the Director of Community Action for the Education Youth Action Area at United Way of Anchorage, and she's a former fifth grade teacher. Thanks so much for being with us today in the studio, Sarah.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And we also have Dawn Groth, who is a nurse, and she lives in East Anchorage. She's an active community member who's engaging with youth. She's a board member with Bicycle Commuters for Anchorage, and she's also a grad student at Alaska Pacific University, where she's working on youth bicycle safety. Thanks so much for being here, Dawn.
Thanks for having me.
And both women are here today to talk to us about Anchorage United for Youth, the upcoming youth summit that's happening this weekend on September 18th, and how people can start getting engaged in young people's lives. So maybe a good place to start this conversation would be with you, Sarah. Can you tell us, Sarah Sledge, a little bit about Anchorage United for Youth and a definition of really what it is?
Sure. Anchorage United for Youth is a collaboration of around 40 partners throughout the community that have all been working at helping our youth succeed, looking at our graduation rates, looking at youth substance use rates, looking at juvenile crime and violence, and figuring out ways to improve all of those so that we know that we're really making a difference for our kids. We've got partners ranging from other nonprofit serving, youth serving agencies, local and state government agencies, businesses, tribal organizations, and community members, really looking at strategies that help our kids succeed, both by developing what makes them healthy and stronger and more resilient, and also intervening when they get off track.
Okay. So you mentioned a couple of things. You mentioned some things that Anchorage United is trying to prevent. So there's a preventative nature of Anchorage United for Youth. So where did those things that you listed, maybe you can say them one more time, and then tell us, you know, why is Anchorage United for Youth focusing on those things?
So in terms of prevention, we're really looking at how to develop resiliency of our youth. This is all research-based, looking at how we develop the assets of our youth so that they're strong and that they make better decisions. So things like having supportive adults in their lives, adults that they can turn to when they have an issue facing them or they need help with something. We know based on research that that's something that helps kids make healthy choices. We know that when kids have meaningful ways to engage in their community, meaningful activities to occupy their time, they're much more likely to make positive choices and stay away from risky decisions.
And so you're talking about, to break that down into layman's terms, you're saying if kids have something to do that's not standing on a corner and kind of thinking up ways to get in trouble, they're less likely to do that, stand on a corner and think of ways to get in trouble.
Absolutely. And we can look at crime rates and see that they, juvenile crime rates, and see that they do increase in the hours between 3 and 6 p.m. They increase on the weekends and they increase in the summertime. So we know that when kids have something useful and meaningful to do with their time, that they're much more likely to not do risky things. So those are a couple of the things. We're also looking at how we can help make families stronger so that families are a better unit to support our kids, how to make the environment a more positive place for our youth. That could have to do with access to alcohol, the laws and policies that we have in place. And then there's an intervention aspect to the work that we're looking at as well.
And so where did those, you know, that you have a few different ways of focusing your efforts. What's the genesis of those? Where did it come from that those things are what came to the surface for what Anchorage United for Youth is trying to do?
So I would say that Anchorage United for Youth, I mean, it's been building on a foundation that's been in place for, you know, maybe 10 years even, of all these different groups that have been concerned about youth for a long time and doing work, good work, to make a positive impact for our youth. But several years back, you know, we had a substance use prevention group that was working at United Way. There was the Tri-Borough Anti-Gang and Youth Violence Policy Team that was working in the city of Anchorage and with some of our other boroughs that are nearby. All working at how we can reduce gangs and juvenile crime. And there were some other groups also doing good work. And we were looking at how can we align these efforts that we're working smarter and better, working together for these same good reasons. So about 3 years ago, these groups really came together and aligned their work. And about 18 months ago, Anchorage United for Youth really formed formally.
And so these are different groups that are, you know, maybe one is working on recruiting young people to be firefighters or, you know, policemen or something. And maybe one is working on partnering mentors and big brothers, big sisters. And maybe another is something about the Girl Scouts. And maybe another is doing this and that youth court. So you're talking about how to get these different organizations who all have their own mission and all have their way of engaging, doing so in such a way that they're not competing or overlapping in ways that aren't useful and that kind of thing. Is that what you're talking about?
Kind of. And also looking at the best data that we have that's available. You know, a few years ago, back 2004, 2005, our graduation rate was just below 60%. You know, as a community, we can look at that and say, we need to do something about this. But it's not just the school district's responsibility. And they've done an amazing job. The school district is one of the partners in Anchorage United for Youth. And they've done an amazing job to really work hard at increasing graduation rates and making the schools have a better climate for our youth. That's really important. The last 2 years, we're looking at a graduation rate that's increased to just around 70%. So we've made a lot of progress.
Wow.
But looking at how we as a community can look at this data that's available and look at the needs that are there and the gaps that are there, figure out how to fill those gaps, and also figure out what we can do together and work smarter.
So as part of your job, looking at the existing data, seeing where there's improvement, seeing where there's room for improvement, and then trying to figure out how you can get people working together to make the progress you all say you want?
Absolutely.
Huh. That's really interesting. Where did those numbers come from that you just mentioned about graduation rates?
So the graduation rates come from the school district. They release their profile of performance report every year, and we're anxiously awaiting our 2009-2010 graduation rates. Those should be available soon. And we also track a lot of data from the Youth Risk Behavior Survey that's done every 2 years. So our last data that we have available comes from 2009. We look at everything from youth substance use rates to how many youth report that they have supportive adults in their lives, how many report that they have meaningful activities to engage in, are they smoking? Are they binge drinking? What kind of healthy habits do they have? So we look at all of that kind of information to see where things are going in the right direction and see where we have a little bit more work to do.
Gotcha. So obviously these graduation rates are going in what I think most people would assume is the right direction. What is the reason for the improvement? Do you have an answer to that question?
Well, you know, I think we can definitely say that the Anchorage School District has done an amazing job at really working hard at how they can impact graduation rates. So that's definitely part of it. But, you know, we as a community have made a concerted effort to figure out ways that we can be more supportive of our kids. So we are looking at how we increase not only the number of meaningful opportunities that are out there for our kids, but what's the quality of those opportunities? Are they of the best quality that our kids need? Are they the things that our kids are asking for? You know, one of the main parts of the Anchorage United for Youth plan is looking at how we incorporate youth voice into what we do. So we want to make sure that we're doing the things that kids actually want rather than what a bunch of adults sit around and think that kids want. So we've asked for their input. One of the things they came up with, we have a teen advisory council that advises the activities of Anchorage United for Youth. And that's really, really important. And one of the first ideas they came up with is, they said, you know, there might be a lot of activities out there for kids, but we don't know about them. So they recommended the development of a Facebook page, which has been around now for about a year. KPASA Anchorage is a Facebook page that lets kids know what's going on, volunteer opportunities, employment opportunities, events that are going on. So it's important not just to have these activities, but to make sure that kids know about them.
And you're trying to engage them, it sounds like, through a modern way of communicating, which would be through social media.
Right. There are a lot of ways that kids communicate that we're not used to. So we've got to look into those methods.
So how many kids are following K-PASA through Facebook? Do you know?
The last numbers that I heard said that we had just over 1,400 Facebook fans now. Last year, this time, I think we were around 86.
Oh, wow.
So it has grown by leaps and bounds.
Well, you're listening to Kids These Days. I'm your host, Shanna Sheehy. I'm in the studio today with Sarah Sledge and Dawn Groth. And this is a community conversation, and what makes it great is when we hear from you. The number to call is 1-888-KTD-RADIO. That's 888-583-7234. Call up, leave a question or a comment, and we can respond to it on our program. So let's go to one of our callers. We have Megan, who called in from Anchorage.
Hi, Sarah. My name's Megan, and I work for a group called Alaska Youth for Environmental Action. And my question is about how Anchorage compares to other regions of the country. In terms of youth services offered and our need for youth services, my sense is that there are a lot of really amazing programs offered in our community that are targeted towards positive youth development and helping youth grow into successful, productive adults. And just wanted to get your sense of how we compare as a community to some of the other places in the country, and both in terms of the services that are offered and the need for services here in the Anchorage area. Thanks.
That's a great question. I honestly can't tell you how we compare to other other areas of Alaska or the rest of the country. I spend so much time focused on Anchorage and what we have here. I can tell you that we do have an amazing array of activities for positive development for our youth. It's one of our strengths. You know, we've got the summit coming up on Saturday, September 18th from 12:30 to 4 at the Denina Center, which everyone is welcome to attend. And leading up to the summit, we've been having conversations around the community about what makes Anchorage a great place for our youth, what we still need to do better, and what we as individuals can do to contribute to that. And I've been struck by, you know, one of the things that people talk about as being one of the greatest assets of Anchorage is not just the activities that are available for our kids, but also our access to natural resources. We've got a lot of great parks and hiking trails. It's one of the reasons why so many of us move here, including myself. So we have this great abundance of natural resources available to us, but we still have one of the things that we found people saying we need to do better. We may not realize that a lot of our kids don't necessarily have access to these trails, to these parks. They don't have an adult that will take them on these trails. They don't have the resources to find out what to do. So we could still use a lot of work in that area.
Well, maybe this is a good place to bring Dawn Groth into the conversation. Dawn Groth is also in the studio with us today on Kids These Days. And Dawn is an adult who is a community volunteer in small but very important and impacting ways. Dawn, I've heard that you have taken it upon yourself, maybe not to get children out to the trailheads, like what Sarah was saying there's a need for, but that through your interest in bicycle safety, and also through, I think there's something about playgrounds and so forth that you did to get involved. Could you maybe tell us a little bit about your efforts?
Yeah, actually, getting kids out to open spaces in public areas is actually really important to me. And fortunately, I live right next to a park, and I have 14 kids who live on my street. I call them my street kids.
Wait, you know how many kids live on your street?
Yeah.
Do you think everybody knows that?
No, I don't think so.
So why did you care enough to count how many kids live on your street?
Well, I made a real effort to find out how many kids were and there were on my streets in order to make my streets safer. We had an issue where people were parking in the middle of the cul-de-sac, and I felt that that was really not safe because kids play in the cul-de-sac these days. So I counted up all the kids, know all their names, and put notes on all the houses saying, please, let's keep this street safe so that this is where the kids are playing. Let's make sure that this is safe. So I just made it my job to find out how many kids we have. And they come to my house all the time, so I know how many kids we have living on my street.
So you made an effort to get to know them, and then paid back, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, please continue with your story. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just thought that that was kind of an interesting thing to find out more about.
Yeah. Well, and the kids do like the parks, and part of my, a lot of my volunteer work used to be going to organizations and volunteering with them, and what I found, it was always the same groups of families involved in those, people who had resources to be able to take time out of their day and drive their kids somewhere. And then I thought, well, what about if I just dedicated my time to my street kids, my 14 kids who live on my street? So I started a little program where we have a little garden in the front of my yard, and pretty soon they all started showing up for that. And now it has spread to little activities where we'll go walking over to Baxter Bog, or we'll go walking back into the woods to the creek. So it's just... It's actually being in the neighborhood where they are at and showing them what is in their neighborhood that most of these kids aren't aware of. Their families don't know what's going on in the neighborhood. They're really busy leading their lives and trying to make dinner in the evening time or make sure the laundry is clean. And so it's just my opportunity to get to know the kids and take them out and show them what's in their neighborhood.
And how do the kids, I mean, it sounds like they're coming by your house and so forth. So are they responding positively to your effort?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes more than I expected. I come home now and the kids will just like pile out of the street or their houses. And, you know, they call me Miss Dawn. Miss Dawn, Miss Dawn. And they come running up to my parking lot, my garage area there. And my signal to them is either I will open up my garage door or I'll open up my gate to my house. And that's somewhat of a signal that everyone is welcome to come, and then they know that at this point, so they end up coming over, and what we do, whatever the kids need at that point. Sometimes, you know, I used to try to like plan something, and that just didn't work out very well. I realized that I had to be available for whatever needs they had, and for instance, someone might have homework questions that their parent isn't home, so they come to me with their homework questions, or someone might need to practice their reading skills on a book, or maybe they just want to sit and braid my hair or paint my toenails and talk about their day. And so, you know, it's become a really organic event. So
and are you doing this sometimes during some of those times that Sarah referred to earlier, like the hours of 3 to 6, which are after school, or on weekends, or especially in the summertime?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a quiet neighborhood when school's in session, and as soon as the bus pulls up, I know that, you know, pretty soon they're going to be knocking at the door. So that's exactly the time period, and it's for a group of kids who don't have any other activities going on in the evening time or on the weekends.
And so, how did you find the desire and maybe the capacity within yourself to open your garage door and then open yourself and your heart to kids who aren't even your own kids but happen to be close to you and in proximity? Because not everybody does that, right?
I know, and I don't understand that. I it's really easy to do, and the kids, they're so receptive to it that it was, I kind of really think that if not you, who? And while it took a little bit of time for me to introduce myself to the parents in order for them to feel comfortable with who's this person that my kid is spending so much time with, it just feels like such the right thing to do. And it's really so easy. And sometimes it doesn't take a lot of time or a lot of planning. Literally, sometimes they will come over and just help me clean my house.
Oh,
and
sweet.
It's like they have 5 little kids running around cleaning my house. And, you know, it's fun. I really know that it's not what we do, but that we do something. It's not what I read to them, but that I read to them. You know, it's not what we grow in the garden, but that we are growing something in the garden. So it's just, you know, they want to have an audience. They want to tell them someone about their day, what's going on, you know, who's doing this and who's doing what, and, you know, what they're doing in school and how they accomplish this or that. And just having an adult that pays attention to them, whether it be a concert that they will put on for me, or a magic show where they cut each other in half. Whatever it is, they just need an adult to pay attention to them. And it's so easy. And it's so, when I come down my street, even with my friends, they're just amazed. Like, oh my God, Dawn, what is going on? It's like, I know. They're great. So why wouldn't anyone want to do this?
This is Kids These Days on this listener-supported station. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and here with me in the studio is Dawn Groth and Sarah Sledge. We're talking about community action, Anchorage United for Youth, and the upcoming Youth Summit. And before we get into a larger conversation about the Youth Summit, I have something for us to listen to. Anchorage United for Youth has been out in the community asking a few questions in advance of the summit scheduled for this weekend. Those questions are, what makes Anchorage great for youth? Another is, what's needed to make Anchorage better for kids? And finally, what can we do ourselves to help contribute? Alaska Teen Media Institute reporter Max Youngrice collected some answers, and here they are.
Great for youth? Well, there's a lot of things to do, a lot of parks, a lot of activities, fishing, you know, boating, a lot of things that can keep them active and away from things that aren't good for them.
But at the same time, it's not like the big cities where you have a lot of the violence and stuff. We have a little things go on, but not like a lot of the cities that are larger.
One of the things that makes it good for young people is there's opportunity here. There's that chance that if you get a good education and want to live in Anchorage, Alaska, there'll be something for you when you get a little bit older in life. And I think that's a key thing.
You know, I'm not sure it's great for youth. It's certainly not as good as it could be. And it's not as good as when I was a boy and lived in Anchorage.
Parents or single parents have, and having so many friends that are teachers, they have issues with kids that don't have enough discipline or they don't have enough time, but the parents don't have the time to spend with the kids, so they're not able to give them that direction or that discipline that they need.
Kind of the atmosphere at sometimes maybe at night down in town, especially in the summer when everything's lighter, you know, you can stay out later, and there's a lot of people around town that, you know, aren't safe, that don't make it safe for the youth.
One thing that I think is really important that we can all do is if there's something that you're really into, really passionate about, a hobby, go and find a young person and help them get involved with that too if it's an interest of theirs, and just kind of mentor them and spend that time with them and show them that there's adults who do care about them.
Probably reach out and let people know that what programs are available, and you know, maybe ask for volunteers. People need to be more generous. They're so stressed out and they're so bogged down with so many things to do, they don't realize that, you know, it wouldn't take but an hour or 2 hours a week for them to do something that would make a huge difference.
Well, Sarah Sledge and Dawn Groth, that was produced by @me's Max Youngrice, and we heard a variety of opinions in that piece. We heard a lot of people saying things were positive, and some people saying things could be a whole lot better. What do you take from hearing those responses to those questions that are from your organization?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been conducting these conversations just like Max went out and asked the community members. We've been doing this all over the community with different groups to find out what they think. So I'm hearing a lot of the same things. There's a lot of great assets that Anchorage has for our youth, and it's a wonderful thing, but there are still some things that we need. You know, we still have 30% of our kids not graduating on time from high school, and we still have 35% of our teens in 2009 using alcohol, 23% binge drinking. We have 13% of our teens in 2009 reporting being physically hurt on purpose by a boyfriend or girlfriend. Almost 45% of Anchorage high school students reported that they don't feel like they matter to people in the community. Those are significant numbers. Those are things that we really need to work on as a community. And I think we all have a role to play. You know, the state agencies, the municipal agencies, the nonprofit agencies all have a role to play. And the school district has a role to play. but so do our community members. Whether our kids are well off impacts all of us. It impacts our economy. It impacts the safety of our neighborhoods. It's important, and our kids are important, and they need us. And there are things that each of us can do on an individual level to really contribute to that. I have a friend who asked a question a few months ago: how do we turn "we need" into "I will"? And I've stolen his phrase, and I've been using it all over because it's such a powerful question. It's so easy to look at where we live or our community and say, well, we need this, and this needs to change. When you say, well, I will, what can I do? It really changes our perspective, and I think there are things, small and large, that each of us could do that would really help our kids, from getting to know the families and the children in our neighborhood, just so they know who lives on their street, that they know that there's an adult there that is approachable and that's looking out for them. That makes a huge difference. Being more intentional about our interactions with youth so that they feel recognized and respected. These are little things that make a huge difference to our kids. Two things as big as being a volunteer or a mentor to a youth on a long-term basis. There's a lot of things that we can do.
So that phrase from "we need" to "I will," mm-hmm. There's an element of the upcoming September 18th Youth Summit that's all about that, isn't that right?
That's indeed what the summit is about. How do we move down to a grassroots community level and look at how I, as a citizen, can get engaged with youth, how I can unite with the other community members around me to make this a really supportive and safe and healthy community for our youth. Maybe I want to do that, and I have no idea how to do that. I can find out at the summit. There are going to be workshops there that teach me how to do that. Maybe I'm a parent, and I want to find out how to better engage with my kid's school. There's going to be a workshop on that. Maybe I'm a parent, or I work with youth, and I want to know how to better communicate with teens. There's going to be a workshop on that. How can I better set boundaries with youth? We're going to talk about that. And we're going to have some more of these conversations to get even more community feedback about what Anchorage needs to do a better job at to make it a great place for our youth. And we hope that this is the start of a conversation that continues for many, many years so that we as a community are really focused on uniting for our youth.
And that's Sarah Sledge of Anchorage United for Youth, and she's talking about the upcoming Youth Summit hosted at the Dena'ina Center on September 18th, starting at 12:30 and going until 4. It's open to anyone, everyone in the community. It's free of charge. And I'd like to remind listeners that you're listening to Kids These Days, where we're raising Alaska's future today. And stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. And coming up later in the program, Kids These Days will introduce you to a pillar of the Juno community. You won't want to miss meeting retired dance team coach Leslie Dahl. That and more of your questions answered by Sarah Sledge of Anchorage United for Youth and community volunteer Don Groth. Stay with us. We'll be back after this minute.
United, united, united we stand. United we never shall.
Next time on Kids These Days, we're talking about the empty nest. It's a significant time of transition for families when adult children choose to leave home or don't. Hi, I'm Shanna Sheehy, and on this hour of Kids These Days, we'll take your calls about the empty nest. Did your child just leave home? Are you yourself a newly independent adult? Or do you wish your nest would be empty? Call us with your questions and comments. That's 1-888
KTD Radio, 888-583-7234. Also on this program, Barbara Brown shares her feelings about her daughter's recent departure. And we'll learn about the changing demographics at UAA and about the increasing trend of 20-somethings who fail to launch. All that and more on Kids These Days. You're listening to Kids These Days, where we're raising Alaska's future today. On Kids These Days, we're beginning an ongoing series today. This hour, we're talking about Anchorage United for Youth, local youth-serving organizations, and how everyday people can help improve the lives of young people around them. Mentors do just that. They're in every community, working in countless ways and helping kids. One way adults come into kids' lives when they aren't kids of their own is through coaching. Coaches can really influence their young athletes and are part of the essential community of non-parent adults that sculpt young people's lives. In Juneau, retired drill and dance team coach Leslie Dahl has been influencing kids for more than 24 years. During that time, she transformed a team that almost disbanded into one that's earned national and international recognition, a task that took a lot of discipline and hard work. Kids These Days had Juno's Scott Burton catch up with the mentor and see if he could discover the secret to her success in this installment of The Power of One.
Leslie Dahl is in her office, where she works as senior vice president and chief lending officer of a bank. Right now, she's looking at a YouTube video of her dance team during her last year as coach in 2008-2009.
You saw what they just did, where they half of them were doing what they call stalls, where they do some sort of handstand or they position themselves in their bodies and then they freeze for a second. Do a lot of stuff like what you would see on TV for America's Best Dance Crew and things like that nowadays.
Dressed in black, the 24-person team moves across the gymnasium floor in near-perfect synchronization, a point of pride for the team. And their success nationally and internationally is a point of pride for Juno.
Every dancer looks like they're doing the same thing. It's like you don't want to take the personality out of the dancer, but their arms and legs all need to be going in the same direction at the same time. It is part of the secret of Juno Douglas's success, is that they spend so much time on execution. Because you can have a lot of great ideas, and you can have some cool-looking stuff, but if all 20 or 24 people aren't doing it together, it's really hard for the audience to watch it.
Getting the young women to work like this takes a lot of discipline and work.
Contrary to popular opinion today, it's okay to have high standards. It's okay to hold kids up to those high standards and expectations. We seem to think, just as a society, that this whole generation, that there have to be do-overs and second chances, and it's okay that if you lighten up on the expectations and kids can't possibly live up to those high standards, and I don't believe any of that's true.
In the early years, Dahl was known for these standards and admits that she may have been severe. But as the team succeeded and grew, so did Dahl's coaching style.
Over the years, I learned that even though our rules and our standards were very important, and I would say the reason for the success of the program, you have to know when to flex. Each kid is an individual, and they have things happening in their lives that are very difficult, and you have to know, have a good eye out for when those things are happening. And
being head coach means spending hours each week with the girls, plus retreats, travel, camps, and more.
Know the kids well enough to be able to recognize when they're having hard times, and you have to deal with that on an individual basis. And that's not the same as befriending the kids and trying to have a relationship that is something different than coach and athlete. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying get to know them as people, so that when something really big is happening, it can be life-changing for them if you handle that in the right way. And if they are able to continue their participation in your sport because of it, it can mean all the difference.
Taking on a role right after Leslie is not the easiest thing to do.
Jody Watts is in her second year as head coach. She joined Leslie's team when she was a freshman, and neither she nor Leslie would have thought that she'd be coached someday.
My freshman year, I was going a lot of different directions, didn't know where I was going, definitely didn't realize how structured the dance team was and what it would do for me at that point. And I didn't have a whole lot of set restrictions and roles for myself or for my parents, so
coming onto a program like the dance team was a bit of a challenge at first, and I ran a lot of laps, probably one of the most on the whole team my freshman year. There was times where I didn't think I would come back even to the next practice because it was tough.
But Jody did for 4 years in high school, and after a few years to start her own family, she's back at practice. Watt's former mentor says those numerous practices are all part of the discipline that makes the team what it is.
I'd get some challenging kids, and maybe some school officials or something would say, well, you're not going to have much luck with this. But kids were attracted to the program because of discipline. When people thought that they were avoiding discipline, maybe it was something they really needed in their life. And that the boundaries they weren't getting elsewhere were something that were very, very clear on dance team, and they actually thrived in that environment.
Again, Jody Watts.
If I didn't have the dance team my freshman year to show me that there could be positive discipline in my life, that I can foresee myself hanging out with a rougher crowd and ending up having harder choices and not always knowing how to make the right decision and just having a lot more trials in my life, for sure.
Jody is among some 500 young women, like Kids These Days host Shanna Sheehy, that have danced with Dahl. Shanna, I hear you had pretty big hair when you were a dancer.
Guilty. But everyone else had big hair too, I'd like to say, even Leslie. But seriously, Leslie Dahl was one of those special mentors who ultimately shaped my life for the better. If you know someone like Leslie Dahl, who's an outstanding advocate for youth where you are, let us know. Write to us at mail@kidsthesedays.org and put the power of one in the subject line. Thanks again to Scott Burton and Juno for the first installment in this series.
You can see the Juno Douglas Dance Team in action by going to kidsthesedays.org. We'll link to some of their tape performances, just as we'll link to all of the resources and all of the organizations that you've been hearing about on this hour of Kids These Days, as we speak to Sarah Sledge of Anchorage United for Youth and Don Groth. Sarah is the Director of Community Action for the Education Youth Action Area at United Way. And we also have Don Groth, who is an active community volunteer. She's engaged with the youth on her street and in other ways. Thanks again, ladies, for being here with us in the studio. And we left our conversation starting a discussion about the Youth Summit that is coming up on September 18th. That's this Saturday at the Denina Center. You were telling us a little bit about the different sessions that are going to be offered there, Sarah.
Yeah.
And what else might people learn or encounter if they come out on Saturday to the summit?
Well, we have a lot of exciting things going on. And one of them is that Keegan Randall will be there, Olympian Keegan Randall, to share her story, you know, what helped her develop as a youth. And we have two youth MCs, local Anchorage municipality youth that will be our MCs for the event. So we're looking forward to that. And we have some youth entertainment. We've got some really talented young people here in Anchorage, so we'll get to hear from them. Then we're going to have some conversations happening throughout the day, but also just 8 really great workshops about how to connect with youth. There's going to be a workshop about helping youth develop social and employability skills. How to talk to teens. That one's being presented by some teen outreach workers from the Power program, which is located downtown. How to set boundaries with youth. That's being presented by one of our principals from the Anchorage School District, Cecily Williams. She's from Clark Middle School. So we've got some great workshops lined up and lots of opportunities for people to find out how they can get involved and how they can make a difference. If they want more information, they can go to our website. That's liveunitedanchorage.org. There's an Anchorage United for Youth logo there they can click on and get more information. And they can also find a list of all of our partners, which are great avenues for volunteering.
And that was liveunitedanchorage, is that correct?
That's correct.
.org, and you can click on that from there. You can also find Live United Anchorage and Anchorage United for Youth by going to kidsthesedays.org. We'll link to that from the program.
program.
Great.
And so you mentioned, actually, just before we talked about the websites, you said something about the organizations who are all part of this mm-hmm. partnership. Could you tell us, I'd like to know which organizations these are, how many there are that are involved in cooperating in this way? And I don't mean to say read the whole list so right. much as maybe like sprinkle some of them out there for
I'll
us so we're familiar.
So United Way of Anchorage has been really involved in convening a lot of these groups together. The Anchorage School District, the Anchorage Police Department, the municipality. We work with the State Department at the Division of Juvenile Justice and the Division of Behavioral Health and a lot of the programs that they do. Then we work with just so many of the youth-serving nonprofit agencies across Anchorage that if I start listing them, I'm going to miss somebody. But just some really involved. We've also worked with some of the community councils around town. And the Anchorage Assembly just passed a resolution on August 31st in support of the summit. So we thank them for that. So We've got partners from all over the community, and it's been really, really exciting to hear them talking about how they can be aligned in the work that we do.
And you talked about 8 different workshops that are being offered at the summit on the 18th, mm-hmm. and they're very interesting. And I'm wondering, how did you come up with those subjects? Is that something else that you got from community feedback?
We did. We actually sent a survey out far and wide to everyone we could think of to ask for community input and about what they want to hear about. So these workshop topics are the result of community feedback.
And who all do you foresee coming? I mean, I know that it's open and that everyone is invited. That's part of why we're having this discussion mm-hmm. today. But who do you anticipate will be coming? How much community engagement do you anticipate and want for this event?
Well, I'm hoping that we'll get a lot of parents, people who want to volunteer in the community and aren't quite sure how to do that, people that maybe are engaged in some kind of community volunteering already, but they maybe want to know what else is going on out there or how they can do it better. Would love to see a lot of faith-based organizations, people involved in their churches or in their communities and their neighborhoods to come out and so that we can all find out how we can work better together. Because I want to hear from all those people, from all the different cultural groups that we have in Anchorage. We have such a wonderful diversity here and really want to hear more from them.
So do you see this as a dialogue where people can come who are already engaged, as well as people who want to begin that engagement, but the people who are already doing something can share how it is that they're getting involved?
Absolutely. So share ideas that they have. You know, there might be an idea out there that you have that no one else has thought of, or that it might be exactly the thing that they could do that they haven't thought of. So sharing those ideas is really, really valuable.
Well, Dawn Groth, let me ask you a quick question about the summit. Will you be attending the summit on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm on a panel, actually, and I'll be discussing how each individual person can do whatever they have time to do to get involved with the youth in their community.
And I'll remind listeners that Dawn is someone who has taken the 14 kids who live on her street under her wing, so to speak, and has offered them a lot of support. You've become an adult in their life who they can rely on and who they can trust and who they can spend quality time with, in addition to their family members and other adults in their lives. And you've done that as something that you said grew organically from just trying to find a way to sort of deal with a parking situation in your cul-de-sac. Isn't that right?
Right. Yeah.
So let's go back to the phones. Kids These Days is a community conversation. We invite people to call in with their questions and comments. You can do so by calling 1-888-KIDS-THESE-DAYS, KTD Radio. That's 888-583-7234. You can always email as well. You would write to mail@kidsthesedays.org, and you can leave questions and comments there as well, and we can respond to them. And we will do so now. We have a call that came in from Becky.
Hi, this is Becky from Anchorage, and I don't have a question, but actually a comment. For many people, you know, they're really busy already with jobs and raising their own kids, and they say, I can't do one more thing. And I'd actually challenge that, because I think there are all kinds of just simple things that any of us can do. Like, just get to know your friends' kids. Or what about your own children's friends? Or even expand your circle a little bit and go out into the neighborhood. As I say, just
smile and wave at your neighbor's kids. And I swear, they'll think you're crazy at first, but after a while, they're going to start waving back. And then when you don't show up, you'll be surprised how they'd actually get a little bit disappointed. The other thing is sometimes you can just get to know your grocery bagger or the kids at your church. No matter what, this is all just creating a very informal web of support for kids.
That was Becky. And if I pick up on something that she said, that was a lot of good advice there, a lot of easy to do ideas for how to engage with youth in a community and to make a difference. Mm-hmm. But she used this idea of intentional communication. Mm-hmm. Is that something, you know, we've been talking about youth serving organizations, and is that something that, you know, goes around in some of the conversations that you, Sarah Sledge, have as you do your work with Anchorage United for Youth?
Absolutely, in terms of, you know, how we can be more intentional about the work that we do as nonprofit agencies, absolutely. But it's also come up in the community conversations that we've had, you know, this idea of being intentional around the youth that we come into contact with already. So it doesn't require any more investment of time. It's just a change of our mindset and how we interact with the youth that we do see already every day. Someone mentioned when you go to neighborhood parties or parties with your friends and people bring their kids, how often do we talk to the kids that are there? What if while we're at that party, we don't just talk to the other adults that are there, we talk to the kids that are there, find out what's going on in their life, and just create this network of adults that are interested in them and recognize them and recognize their value. Just changing that one little piece of intentionality makes a huge difference. If we all did it, just think about how valued our kids would feel in Anchorage. It'd be a really great thing.
One thing that's interesting to me as we're having this conversation is that we're talking about after Becky's call, we're talking about intentional conversation, about changing one little way of interacting with kids you might already see in your everyday life. But these are all interpersonal communications, right? Like these are all face-to-face kind of opportunities. And we have already talked about how Anchorage United for Youth has found that using social media as a way of getting information out to teens has been really successful about opportunities. So it's so interesting to me that we have a whole network of communication that's done without that face-to-face kind of talking with one another, but that the message I keep getting through this conversation about how to really engage with young people is to do that face-to-face.
Sure, and that may not be 100% true. I mean, I think we have to communicate with kids the way they communicate. So, you know, if they're texting or they're on Facebook, I think we have to use those avenues to connect with them because that's how they communicate with each other. So those are definitely valuable ways for us to connect with kids.
So, Dawn Groth, from your perspective, I know you're working in lots of different ways, but you're specifically focused on kids on your street. Becky, our caller, had lots of suggestions. She talked about getting to know the person who might bag your groceries if they're a young person. She talked about saying hi to the kids you see on your street, even if they think you're kind of crazy in the beginning. Do you have any advice for how that change in perspective in terms of making the interaction you already have more meaningful? Could you give some advice to people about that from your experience?
It was interesting when I first started doing this. Some of the response that I would receive from the adults if I talked to the kids was, they're not my kids, or it's not my business. And I absolutely challenged them. I said, you know, these kids are our business. The neighborhood is our business, and this is our responsibility. And I think the more that I just became more and more involved with the kids, what happens now is that there are a number of garage doors opened on my street. And now if you drive down our street or walk down our street or ride your bicycle down our street in the hours of 3 to 6 o'clock, you will see that there are maybe 5 or 6 garage doors opened up now, and the adults now are starting to talk with one another. So I think, you know, even though it was an intentional act to become more involved with the kids, what has happened is that the neighbors have started to become more involved with themselves. I would say that 8 years ago, we didn't know one another for the most part. I mean, I knew a handful of people that lived close to me, and I had been on that street for 15 years, but it is only since I've started this project that we are starting to network amongst ourselves, and you will see like people enjoying conversations with one another out at the mailbox. And even the mailbox, the mailman, has become an active member of our community as well. He knows the kids' names in addition. And if I see, for instance, I saw the kids one day climbing all over the mailbox, and I just said, what do you think our mailman would say about that? Well, they got down right away, and they know that there are other people watching them and, you know, just holding them to a certain, like I think one of the callers said earlier, a certain standard. And it's like, we expect you to be good kids. And when we expect that, they do it. Yeah.
Well, let's remind our listeners that this is Kids These Days. We're talking with Sarah Sledge and Don Groth. And this weekend, on September 18th, Anchorage United for Youth is hosting a youth summit. It's at the Denina Center. It's from 12:30 to 4. Everyone is invited. And Sarah, as a final thought, can you just reiterate what it is that a community member will gain by attending a UY summit?
At our summit, a community member can find out a lot of different ways that they can get involved in supporting youth, from the smallest of ideas to the largest, lots of different ways to do that, and techniques for doing work with youth if they're already involved. Great workshops, great community conversations, youth entertainment, and just a great sense of community. So we're hoping to see as many people there as possible. This Saturday from 12:30 to 4. It's free. Bring your family and friends.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much, Sarah Sledge, for being here with us, and you as well, Don Groth. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Kids These Days. I'm Shanna Sheehy. Kids These Days is online at kidsthesedays.org, and from our website, you can follow us using Facebook or Twitter. You can also download our programs through iTunes and take Kids These Days on the go. We host discussion forums there where you can suggest topics, talk with other parents and youth-oriented people, as well as find this program and past ones and a calendar. And we'll open up a discussion forum about the Youth Summit in advance of it happening on Saturday. So check us out online and anytime. That's kidsthesedays.org. Thanks so very much again, Sarah and Don, for joining us. Sarah Sledge is the Director of Community Action for the Education Youth Action Area at United Way of Anchorage. And Don Groth is an active community member who has a group of people in East Anchorage caring more about one another than they did before she got involved. And she's also a grad student at APU. When you think about this youth-serving organization, the Girl Scouts, cookies and camp may be the first things that come to mind. But Girl Scouts goes way beyond Samoas and sleepovers. Here's Kids These Days producer, Sarah Gonzalez, along with Girl Scouts of Alaska CEO Marge Larson and her daughter, Beverly.
I asked Marge Larson to talk about how scouting has changed in the 21st century.
Well, part of some changes or transformation in the Girl Scouts USA movement as a whole in the past few years has been to update Girl Scouting so it is more attractive to today's girls. So we're focused still on the same core values that you hear in the Girl Scout law that you did in 1912. But girls today, and in fact adult volunteers today, are different than they were before.
It's different because any girl can join in a Girl Scout program, whether or not they belong to a troop.
You can go to camp in the summer. You can participate in events or series like Women of Science and Technology or a robotics team. You can be involved in travel if you're an older girl. Usually 12 and up can be part of our travel program, which is national and international destinations. And then, of course, the troop pathway that everyone's familiar with, and we'll be rolling out a virtual pathway this next year.
There are many pathways that lead to the Girl Scout leadership experience. One of those ways is attending the annual Women in Science and Technology Day that the Girl Scouts sponsors each year all over Alaska.
This past year, we were in five communities, I believe, Bethel, Soldotna, Mat-Su, Anchorage, and Kodiak, and this next year we'll be expanding to include Dillingham, Sitka, Ketchikan, and Juneau as well.
One of the goals of the Girl Scouts is to expose young women to professions in which women are underrepresented, so science and technology, and also construction.
That is a program put on for us by the National Association of Women in Construction in the Alaska chapter here puts on that day for us every year. And it's very cool. Part of Girl Scouting is doing things in a certain way. It's not necessarily what you do, but how you do it. And in Girl Scouting, it needs to be either girl-led or learning by doing or cooperative learning, so group process. So the how is really important. And women of science and women in construction are really great examples of learning by doing.
The objective of all of these pathways is to make leaders out of young women.
Girl Scout leadership experience is sort of synthesized into three elements: discover, connect, and take action. Girls discover the leader in themselves, connect with others, and take action to make the world a better place. So what you're speaking of, community projects, is the take action piece. Most of the take action pieces are girl-led. So the girls come up with them, and they plan them, and they follow through on them. So each troop will do different kinds of things. They might be serving food at a homeless shelter or something much more involved. So everything in Girl Scouting involves that take action element, even in the smallest way, even with our five-year-old Daisy girls. There's always something that they can do to give back in the community, and that's really important.
Often, girls will come up with their next community service project while they're at summer camp. So what else happens at summer camp?
Well, you pretty much camp overnight for a week. You get to go canoeing one day, kayaking, rock climbing, going on trails.
If you missed out on this when you were a girl, guess what? You can still be a Girl Scout.
We have girl members and we have adult members. And so girl members go through 12th grade. And then you can become an adult member or a lifetime member. And you're still a member when you're an adult, either as a lifetime member or annually renewing. And typically those people are volunteers, or they're just people who want to stay connected with Girl Scouts.
Do adult members get to go to camp?
Well, that's a very good question. Adult members always want to go to camp.
Sure.
But part of the camp experience is developing independence in the girl away from the parents. And because a lot of our adult members tend to be parents of girl members, we try to separate resident camp from the family unit. Now, we do have, that said, we do have family camp at the beginning of the summer and the end of the summer.
If you were a Girl Scout when you were a kid, the chances are very high that today you're either a CEO, an entrepreneur, or an elected official.
80% of women business owners and CEOs in this country were Girl Scouts.
Wow.
Over 65% of U.S. Congresswomen and senators were Girl Scouts.
That's right. Sandra Day O'Connor, Anita Roddick, Madeleine Albright, Barbara Walters, Grace Kelly, Gloria Steinem, Queen Elizabeth II, and almost every female astronaut got her start selling cookies in the Girl Scouts. And speaking of cookies, Beverly, do you have to sell more cookies than anyone else because your mom is the boss of the Girl Scouts?
No, because she's not my troop leader.
Good answer.
Although cookie season isn't until January, you can go right now to our website, kidsthesedays.org, to learn more about the Girl Scouts and the programs they offer all throughout the year. This is Sarah Gonzalez, former Girl Scout.
That's Girl Scouts of Alaska CEO Marge Larson and her daughter Beverly speaking with our producer, Sarah Gonzalez. Thanks so much for listening to Kids These Days on this station. We are community-supported radio, just like this program is a community-supported conversation. And thanks for being a part of the dialogue. And keep it going. Join us at kidsthesedays.org. That's kidsthesedays.org to weigh in on our discussion board, invite your friends to follow us through social media, or check out our web extras. They get posted throughout the week. You can find that at kidsthesedays.org. As always, we'll be linking you to resources you've heard about on today's program through our website. That's kidsthesedays.org. We'll connect you to Anchorage United for Youth and some of its youth-serving partners, Girl Scouts of Alaska, the Juno Douglas High School Dance Team, and the Alaska Teen Media Institute. Today's program is produced by Sarah Gonzalez, Scott Burton joined us from Juno, and Max Youngrice of the Alaska Teen Media Institute helped out as well. Mind Over Matthew composed
and performed our theme music, and you can find out more about him through kidsthesedays.org. From all of us at Kids These Days, thanks for listening. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and I'll see you next time.
The ideas, opinions, and commentary you hear on Kids These Days are those of the host, guests, and contributors, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of its funders or broadcast partners. The Content Producers Guild is solely responsible for what you hear on this program. Kids These Days is made possible by a generous grant from the Association of Alaska School Boards and its Initiative for Community Engagement. Kids These Days is produced in partnership with KSKA, KRUA, and the UAA Department of Journalism and Public Communications.